Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner floor market, offering
the
simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting
the
turbine with a simple push of a button, push the single lever throttle forward, monitor your flight on the cutting edge G1000 with integrated autopilot, and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
The Wall Street Journal reports that the first salvo may be fired by Boeing, which is expected to announce orders for its 737 MAX. The Wall Street Journal cites sources close to the plane maker who say that both General Electric Company's aircraft lease division and the Air Lease Corporation are expected to announce big orders for the 737. The 737 MAX is Boeing's move to update its single-aisle model yet once again in order to remain competitive with the Airbus 320, most recently updated as the A320neo. Airbus enters Farnborough hot off its announcement of plans to build a new facility in Mobile, Alabama, and the Wall Street Journal says the plane maker could announce deals this week that will double its orders this year to date. Meanwhile, Reuters reports that Sikorsky and the United States have signed a five-year, $7.3 billion deal to supply the U.S. Army, Navy, and Marines with more H-60 Black Hawk helicopters and other versions of the utility helo. The procurement deal runs through 2016. It is aviation's greatest mystery. What happened to Amelia Earhart? Well, a group of scientists and salvage experts are again steaming toward the Kiribati Atoll of Nikumaroro aboard a research vessel because they believe they know the answer to the 75-year-old mystery. TIGER, the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, has long held that Earhart and navigator Fred Noonan landed their Lockheed Electra on a reef just off the island's coast, and that they survived for a short time on that tiny speck in the Pacific. The airplane, they speculate, went over the edge of the reef into deeper water. The Wall Street Journal now reports that artifacts have been found on the island which could have belonged to Earhart or Noonan, but no definitive evidence has yet been found. Rick Gillespie, the founder and executive director of the group TIGER, said the wreckage ought to be down there, but added the only way to know for sure is to go look, and there's no guarantee they'll find anything off the coast of Nikumaroro. The Wall Street Journal reports that another group thinks TIGER will come up empty-handed and plans to mount its own third expedition to Howland Island, where they think the real solution lies later this year. Earhart and Noonan were thought to be near Howland when their plane went down. The Kiribati government has signed an agreement with TIGER to work with the group should anything be discovered, and the expedition has the blessings of the U.S. State Department. The team plans to spend about 10 days on site searching for that long-lost aircraft. Among TIGER's funders is the Discovery Channel, which plans to air a documentary about the trip in August. X-Corps, which is developing the Lynx suborbital spacecraft, is considering a move out of Mojave, California to Midland, Texas, that according to several media reports. The Midland City Council and the Midland Development Corporation will reportedly vote today on whether to approve a $10 million incentive package for the commercial space company. The incentive package would establish X-Corps' corporate headquarters in Midland, according to a report in the Midland Reporter-Telegram. X-Corps says that Midland has been on its shortlist for quite a while, citing a business-friendly climate as well as open space around Midland International Airport. X-Corps COO Andrew Nelson also said the weather was an enticement. One source at X-Corps said, however, that the company would be expanding into Midland and not decamping from Mojave entirely. And the Space News Journal notes that Midland International Airport does not hold a launch site operator's license, meaning it is not one of the U.S.'s designated spaceports, and it's not known if they plan to seek such a license. A news conference is scheduled for Monday afternoon in Midland. Well, any merger between AMR Corporation, the parent of American Airlines and American Eagle, and U.S. Airways Group would be unlikely before the end of the year, that according to U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker. The message was sent in a 4th of July note to the airline's employees. U.S. Airways has made no secret of its desire to make a formal bid for the struggling legacy carrier as it exits from Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but AMR recently asked a judge for more time to work on that exit strategy, which Parker said would delay any formal bid. He said it was important to respect the bankruptcy process. Reuters reports that Parker said that, quote, there is no urgency to merge, end quote. Some of America's unions had called on the airline's management to open merger talks with U.S. Airways, but America's pilots union recently reached an agreement with the airline, and management is again talking with its flight attendants and mechanics. Since declaring bankruptcy, American has held that it wants to emerge from the process as a standalone carrier, but has agreed to at least explore the possibility of merging with another airline. Cessna has introduced another mobile service unit based at Atlantic Aviation, a fixed base operator at Birmingham International Airport in Alabama. Cessna mobile service units provide on-site technical expertise and immediate support for over 6,000 Cessna Citation jets in operation worldwide. The specially outfitted trucks carry many of the tools and equipment found in Cessna Citation service centers and can perform a variety of service-related procedures up to and including engine exchanges. There are now 18 mobile service units in the United States, with 22 in service overall, covering the U.S., Canada, and Europe. When Aero News continues, an Italian plane maker tests the waters in Florida. Flight lessons on the taxpayers tab. And Russia hopes to put on a happy face.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, July 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. An unnamed Italian sport aircraft company, which reportedly specializes in light and ultralight aircraft, is said to be eyeing locations in Florida for a small reassembly plant here in the U.S. The company has been in touch with officials for both the Sebastian and Vero Beach municipal airports, according to a report appearing on tcpalm.com. Any facility would be small, however, offering only 4 or 5 jobs at whichever location is chosen. Sebastian Municipal Airport Director Joe Griffin says there is space available in a hangar where Rudd Aero currently manufactures kit planes. He said the airport does have plans for another 15,000-square-foot hangar, but that's not on the horizon for a couple of years, and it would take a real commitment from the company, whoever they are, to try to accelerate that timeline. At Vero Beach, Airport Director Eric Menger said it might have a 7,500-square-foot hangar available near the end of the year, but it is an older building. He said he would prefer to see the unknown company build its own facility on land it could lease from the city. The inquiries are very preliminary, however, with no final decision made to even come to Florida, let alone to locate at any specific airport. Two police officers in the township of Windsor, New Jersey, have found a loophole that they're trying to take advantage of. They're asking to be paid back for some expensive flying lessons through a police training reimbursement program, even though the township owns no aircraft and the training is not relevant to their jobs. The two officers racked up flying lessons to the tune of $23,000, according to a report in NJ.com. Another took 2 courses on modern China at the University of Pennsylvania, which will cost the taxpayers another $12,000. In all, the education training program has cost the township $107,000 this year, but so far the township has refused to pay for the helicopter lessons. Officials say they don't have a helicopter, don't have any plans to buy a helicopter, therefore don't need any police officers who know how to fly a helicopter. The local policemen's union has so far kept mum on the issue, but the contract they have with the township does say that the government should, quote, automatically, end quote, approve 100% reimbursement for, quote, any associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree producing program, end quote. That contract has since been amended to specify coursework that is associated with police or law enforcement degrees, but those expenses were incurred before the contract was changed. Police Chief Joe Pica said that the charges are currently under review, and the final ruling will come either through arbitration or litigation, a move that will likely also be paid for by the taxpayers. Well, if the big boys like Boeing, Airbus, Sikorsky, and others hope to make big news this week in Farnborough, Russia is just hoping to put on a happy face. Despite planned displays of a pair of Su-27 Flanker fighters that will be flying at the show, and with plenty of military and civilian hardware on display, analysts are saying that much of the conversation involving Russian aviation at Farnborough will focus on the recent accident involving the Sukhoi Superjet 100, which resulted in the fatal injury of 45 people. Privately, the thinking is that United Aviation Corporation, the Russian state aviation holding company, is hoping for a finding of pilot error in the accident. Investigators have reportedly so far not found anything wrong with the airplane that went down. While the Superjet 100 remains grounded, Sukhoi says they are considering having one of the airplanes on static display and keeping the order book open. But there's been very little Western interest in the airliner, which Russia had hoped would be the key to reviving its aviation industry, which has fallen on difficult times since the collapse of the Soviet Union. Well, you have to admit, it's a pretty novel way to raise money for cancer research, but for the past 6 years, Audrey Rose of Nashua, New Hampshire, has organized Jump for the Cure, an effort she began when a friend was diagnosed with breast cancer. The Lowell Sun newspaper in Massachusetts reports that the event has raised over $20,000 since its inception and has grown into a community-wide event with yard sales, live entertainment, raffles, and lots of free-falling. Rose, it seems, had just gotten her skydiving license when her friend was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she said she just wanted to help doing something she loves. She said there are no corporate sponsors, but a lot of volunteer grassroots sweat equity goes into each year's event. This year, Jump for the Cure is planned for July 14th. All proceeds benefit the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. A team of skydivers will jump in a pink ribbon formation, and some will be demonstrating wingsuiting as well. Here's hoping the entire event ends up in the pink. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.